Behold.
Behold.
I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I've shared this many times, that when I would pray and needed to get by myself, when we would come from California, the land of fruit and nuts, to Florida, the only way I could get away from my screaming daughters and the kids is to go to a cemetery to pray. When I went to the cemetery, I periodically would look at the gravestones and the indentations or the markers and the sayings that they had on their gravestones. And many of them said, asleep in Jesus. Asleep in Jesus. One said, I told you I was sick. But another one said, remember me as you pass by. For as you are now, I once was. We're looking for a metamorphosis. All of us are in the process of change. We look at the muscular Caleb, and we look at the muscular Elijah. We look at the muscular,
and they're beautiful specimens of fathers.
And they're beautiful specimens of fathers, sure. The beautiful mothers, the strong Eli. And just think, in 10 more years, you won't recognize them. Because what are they doing? They are growing. They're growing. They're changing. Their hormones are raging. Oh God, help us with those hormones. Their hormones are raging. The little girls become women. And some men become women. But some men grow up into maturity. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. Do you realize? Nobody has a sense.
It's because your wife's not in here, right?
That's right. I can get away with her. Remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament contained. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed.
No, the New Testament is the Old Testament.
When we read the Old Testament, it brings a visual to us of spiritual things. I love spiritual things. Many, I've heard young Christians say, well, I'm just a New Testament Christian, not an Old Testament Christian. And I go, oh, no. You don't get it. Because the Old Testament teaches us the truths of the New Testament. I would recommend that all of you, if you haven't had a chance to listen to Deaconess Jane's sermon Thursday night, it was very life-changing.
Amen.
She talked from Isaiah 52 and 53. I was changed. I went up there and had to give her a hug. And I'm not a big hugger.
Never. First hug I ever got from him.
And it's only been 47 years. So. Sharon's back in, so things have to change. Any event, I would like to take you to the Old Testament. And I can't turn there now because it is a teaching in and of itself. But they had offerings in the Old Testament. The priests would come, they would bring a ram or a bull or a lamb. They would bring it to the priest. The priest would slay the lamb and take its blood and put it in a bowl. And then they would roast the lamb on the brass altar. But there's something intriguing about this bowl of blood that they used. See, the bowl of blood was to be sprinkled around the altar. So when you approach the gate, you approach it like a bird would follow breadcrumbs. You could see the spots of blood as it came through the gate because the priest would sprinkle the blood from the bowl, the trespass offering, the burnt offering. And you and I look at the spots of blood and we follow it. And it always brings us to Jesus. It brings us to the Lamb of God, who is our sin offering, our burnt offering, our trespass offering. And when we look at the blood and we follow the path of the blood, it always brings us to the brass altar. And the brass altar speaks of Jesus himself, who was slain before the foundations of the earth. It speaks to us of the blood sacrifice. And it should be noted that the high priest and the priests, they would wear special garments. And again, I can't go into it tonight. But those garments that are beautiful, woven garments, what they would do, and this would horrify some of you ladies who do a lot of laundry, they would dip their hands in the blood and sprinkle it on these fresh, clean, white garments. So when the great high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, what did God see from the mercy seat? Blood spots. And you and I, when we talk about the blood, as Deaconess Jane covered in her message Thursday night, we see a lot. Now, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that is not known. And there's many things in the kingdom of God that are not readily known. But God, in the Word of God, says that he reveals these secrets and these mysteries to the prophets. Again, not everyone that prophesies is a prophet. There's exhortation, edification, and comfort. A prophet is a whole different realm. The prophet is used to direct, and 99% of the time, if you look through the Old Covenant, you'll find that the prophets were in a school. They were with other prophets. People say, well, what about Elijah? He was with other prophets. What about Elisha? He was with other prophets. It was hard to get along with Elijah, but he was around them. Tonight, our Dr. Aaron, prophetic man, saw a vision, and I entered into that vision. He saw Jesus put his hands in the dirt and lift the foot, didn't he?
Yep.
I saw it too. But what I also saw, I don't know if God revealed that part to you, but I saw him lift the foot out of the dirt and wash the feet and use the towel. See, it says in Scripture in Isaiah 14, that we're dug out of the side of the pit, each one of us. People said, I want what I deserve. If you got what you deserve, we'd all be in hell.
Amen. Absolutely.
I love that song tonight. He was condemned because I was made free. I'm not sure if I got the wording right on that. But I want to talk to you specifically about something that's very important. You are going through a transformation process. Many people just think that growing older is just the way life is. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. And as you grow in God, there is a transformation that you're going through. And one of the difficulties of those that are young and they're growing into maturity is they have growing pains. I'm considering the group, my prayer life for Reverend Natalie and Reverend Justin, because I know that Caleb's approaching that special age. I know that Sebastian is, and some of the others. And I'm thinking to myself, oh brother, can they make it through the teens? Can Daisy make it through the teens? if we don't strangle them first. But this is part of the process. And one of the most difficult things that I have found over the 45 years of ministry is to get a brand new Christian and bring him through the process of maturity while God is also trying to mature you, which makes it tough. And they always want to go by what they feel or what they sense God is saying to them. And all of a sudden they all become prophets and they start meandering around. Well, I feel that the Lord wants me to do this. I feel of the Lord that this is that. No. I'm not saying that we cannot hear from God. But when you hear from God, normally there's exceptions. Normally it's for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Many people are led by their own heart and they blame God. But see, when you move in the prophetic and you are a prophet, you're a visionary, you can enter into people's visions. Your word has been tried over years and what you've said has come to pass. And if there's a stumbling somewhere, you have the prophets that speak two or three and the others judge. There's always safety in the word of the Lord. Because we're all subject to like passions. We all can be led astray by our own emotions and feelings. I'd like you to go to John chapter 12, please, in your Bibles. John chapter 12, 24, please. We believe in the Bible. John chapter 12, starting at verse 24. 12:24. Jesus is speaking. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this world. Father, glorify thy name. Mark, why don't you just write it down on a piece of paper and hand it to him? Okay? You make it a disturbance here. Okay. Now, the key that I want to bring you to. Unless a grain of wheat fall on the ground and die, it cannot spring up to eternal life. As natural beings, we are in a dying process. We started dying when we were born. We get older and older, and then we put in the grave. But it's different for the inner man. The inner man grows more and more in life every day. And so what we're praying for God to do is to take this mortal man and this spiritual man and have them cross through. See, Mount Transfiguration was a very unique situation because there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 came to pass. So what happened on top of Mount Transfiguration? Jesus was here. What happened? It says that this inner man of Jesus overtook his outer man and it was glorified. That's what Jesus wants to do in each of our lives. He wants the inner man, the soul and the spirit, to take over the outer man. That's why when Moses went to the top of Sinai and he saw God, it says his face glowed. What was causing the glow? The glory of the Lord as God brought him out. Because no man can see God unless he's holy. And there was a transformation process that Moses went through as he climbed Sinai. He was tired, but he went up, and there was a transformation. Mount Transfiguration is where God wants to bring us all. And it is a path. It is a path. Now, how are you going to get there? That's the big question. So I'd like you to go in your Bibles to Genesis 29. And we're going to take a look at a few things as I bring the scriptures together. Can you go to Genesis 29, please? Genesis 29, starting at verse 31. And we're talking about when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. Now remember, Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. Now, Leah, for your benefit, was not Miss Israel, okay? Leah was rather homely, according to the inference of the Hebrew. She had to sneak up on a glass to get a drink of water. No, I don't think she was that. But I do believe that Leah had beady eyes. I could relate to Leah. But Leah was hated. Jacob didn't like her. He hated her. And it says that when she was hated, she still remained faithful to her husband. She still remained faithful to the vows and to the consummated marriage. And it says, when she was hated, he opened her womb and Rachel was barren. Now, who was Rachel?
The other one.
Rachel was the woman. She was dashing. Yeah. Big eyes. Reminds me a little bit of Ryan's wife, Beth. You ever seen Beth's eyes? They're big brown eyes. I look at my wife's eyes, they're big and blue. They're phenomenal. But Rachel was a looker. She was perky. She was perky. She was full of life. She would skip along. Leah, on the other hand, hey, baby. She wasn't anything to be desired. She didn't have an overflowing personality. But interestingly enough, she was persecuted and hated and rejected, but yet it was her that God opened the womb. And Rachel, he closed the womb. I'm going to say this once, maybe twice. But brothers and sisters, we've all in this body, especially since COVID, have really gone through it. I can look at every one of you, including myself, and tell you this has been tough. But you know, looking through it, something's began to happen. I've seen Michelle Brewer grow in faith. I've seen Natalie and Justin go through build in faith. I've seen Megan, all of you, begin to grow in faith. And when I saw Jane, wow, she looked like she broke out of a cocoon. You see, it's in affliction that you are birthed. When a woman is in labor and she brings forth, when she's in labor, that's not the best place to talk and speak to her sweet nothings, if you want to keep your nose straight after the baby. But in our affliction is when we grow. So every time you hear of affliction or you go through it, know that it is meant to bring you to a birthplace where God opens you up. One of the things I enjoy hearing, and I'm going to spill the beans, I've had it. I just got to rest in God and His grace. How many times have you said that? I've just got to rely on the grace of God to get me through this day, to get me through the next minute. We all have been there. And it's during those times that you are birthing children. It is bringing fruitfulness out of you because you're turning your face towards the Lord. Now, things that you dislike and hate bring fruit. The hated thing can never be loved. Why does the enemy hate the church? Why does Satan hate the church and try to keep you out of it? Because he knows if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of God. Read Psalms. Now, the next one. I want you to go to Genesis 35 for a moment. Genesis 35. Genesis 35, and God said in verse 1 unto Jacob, "Arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there." Is that clear? Is that clear? Go to Bethel and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God who appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, "Put away thy strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress." When you're in distress, that is not the time to leave your house of God.
Right.
That's Amen. The time to go to it.
That's true.
Amen.
And was within the days when I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the oak which was at Shechem, and there they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Oh, Jacob came to Luz. Thank you, Rachel. Is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar, called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him, and when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, she died. And God appeared unto Jacob in verse 9. When he had come out of Paddan Aram, he blessed him. And God said to him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel. Mm. Now, the sad part. I opened up in chapter 35 of Genesis 1. And God said unto Jacob, "Go to Bethel and stay there." And in verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephratah, which is Bethlehem. Rachel travailed in birth, and she had labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwives said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this also." And look at verse 18. And it came to pass, her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephratah, which is Bethlehem. Where did God tell Jacob to go and to dwell? If God has planted you in a local church, and Brother Mike comes in and steps on your toe, do you say that's a sign from God, I've got to go? Or, if I come into the house of the Lord and I say, "Well, I don't feel fed." Or, "You know, I just don't feel the Spirit the way I used to. But I know God told me at the beginning that I'm going to be planted in this house." What business did Jacob have leaving his Bethel? And I'm telling you, by the word of the Lord, if you go away from the path that God has put you in and the house that he has put you in until you've been released by the prophetic, you will lose something. You will always lose your Rachel. You will lose the beloved thing. The house of the Lord that you're planted in is there for a purpose. Don't you think I have heard these sermons before? Of course I have. Don't you think that I have had people step on my toes? I know I step on more toes than people step on mine. But the point being, God said to me, "You go to your Bethel. It isn't optional. Or you will wind up losing your beloved Rachel." See, what Jacob wanted to do was leave the house of God and go to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. Tonight, the prophetic word if you listen carefully, God wants to develop our gifts and our callings. How is he going to develop those gifts and callings? It's in the crucible of life and in the crucible sometimes of fellowship in the house of your Bethel, the house of God. Listen, I've talked to people. They come to me and say, well, I feel I'm to be a prophet of God. I said, okay. We'll pray about it. They come back and they say, that the Lord said to me once, that's true. And the person came to me and says, did you hear from God? And I did. And the person asked me, what do you think? I said, do you want to be fulfilled the call of God on your life? And this person said, absolutely. I said, why are you in the house of evangelists and not in the house of prophets? Well, that's pretty harsh. You see, when God says you are to stay in your Bethel, he means it. You dwell there, even though you have a bad crop. Consider Boaz. He stayed while Elimelech split. And he lost his sons. There is a place in God that God plants his people for development. Sometimes it is to develop patience, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And I ask myself, how could he leave Bethel after hearing such a direct word from the Lord? And I thought of Rachel. I don't like it here. I'm tired of this place. Can't we just go a little ways down? And I don't want to have a baby in this godforsaken place. I wonder how much influence Rachel had on the decision for Jacob to leave his Bethel. I wonder, if you study the scriptures closely, Leah stood with Jacob and supported him, even though he mistreated her. And if you read the end of Genesis, you'll find that when they buried Leah with the patriarchs, and Rachel was buried in Bethlehem, near Bethlehem. She didn't make it. But Leah did. And she was the hated one. So tonight, we're going to take the word of God. We're going to take the bread of life. And each one of you, I can see, have unique gifts and talents. I implore you that you don't squander them. That you let them develop. Let them develop. And many people have excuses. I'll tell you this, and I would speak to the senior ministry on this. I don't want you here any longer than God wants you here. Do you hear me? If God sends you out, you go out. If God tells you to stay, you stay. Come with the grace of God and allow the pressures that come to you in the house of the Lord to develop you. To develop you. How long did it take Jesus to stay in Nazareth till he was developed enough until the baptism of John, which led him into the wilderness, and he came back with power. Tonight the message is, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but you will all be changed. Either you will be changed in your Bethel, or you will be changed on your journey to Bethlehem. Where do you want to stay? You go to Bethlehem, you lose your beloved. You stay in Bethel, you keep it. May the blessings of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, be upon each and every one of you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Reverend Natalie, my daughter.